You're discussing how rivers applies to non-loan situations, how it applies to neighbors. And as I advertised, we said after the summer break, we would talk about how it applies to sales. When you do business transactions in a sale, buying and selling, it's very easy to come across situations of rivers. And that's what we'll discuss the next few weeks. There's two ways of having potential rivets problems in sales. The first way is when you buy the item and you get the item right now, but you're paying on credit. So that's one way that you can have a potential problem, where you have the item now, but you're not paying. So that's what we're going to discuss tonight, the rivets issues that are involved when you buy something on credit. The second potential possibility of a problem is that when you pay the money right now, but the item's not available yet. When the item's not available yet, so that's a second issue, and that we'll talk about next week in Emunah Hashem. So this we're talking about what happens when you pick up the item now, but you don't want to pay right away. You want to say that, can I have 6 months to pay? It's an expensive car. I can't afford it right now. If you let me pay it off in 6 months, I'll give you an extra $1,000 for it. Or you're selling a house, and some comes as a cash buyer. They offer a certain price, but if it's I have to finance it, then you charge more for financing it. So those are possible ways that you can have this issue.
If it's the same price, then there's no issue.
If the same price, is no issue. The issue becomes, if I say if you buy it now, it's $100,000, $200,000. And if you want it to finance it, I want $250,000, or my car I'll sell to you right now if you give me cash. I'll take $5,000. But if you want to give me monthly payments, I'll take $500 a month for 12 months for $6,000. Is that a potential rivets problem? Or very often, that we have all the time, when you have insurance payments, they tell you it's $1,200 for the year if you pay now. If you want to pay monthly payments, so then there's an extra charge each month. You end up paying more if you don't pay it right now. So in all these cases, you have the item that you purchased right now. You have the product you purchased in the case of insurance. You have that right now, but you want to defer the payment. And by deferring the payment, the seller wants to get more money because he's not getting his money right away. So does that involve a rivets problem? Of course it does. And we're going to discuss how to avoid that problem. So we start with the Mishnah, which makes things very clear. Marbin al ha-sachar. This isn't what we're talking about, but the Mishnah starts with this case. If you rent out property, and there's two ways you can charge rent. You say, if you pay me now, I want $500 for the month. If you delay payment, I want $700. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to ask for an increase in rent if you don't pay right away. Marbin al ha-sachar, you can increase the price of the rent if you don't get paid right away. The ein marbin al ha-mecher, in our case, where you're selling something, then you can't say, if you don't pay right away, I want a greater price. Case that has the case. Hiskelos chatzero. Someone rented out his courtyard to a person, but Amalo, and he said, if you pay me right now, the full year in advance, I'll give it to you for 10 seller for the whole year. If you want to pay me at the end of each month, then seller lechodesh, then I want a seller a month, which will end up being 12 for the year. So that's mutter. We'll see why in the Gemara. If you sold the field, and you told the buyer, if you pay me cash right now, I'm only going to charge you $1,000. But if you're going to wait until you have a crop and you want to get the proceeds from your produce, so then I'm going to charge you shnei moser mana. You're going to have to give me 1,200 zuz. Also, that's prohibited. Right, so the Gemara says there's chilas between renting. The Mishnah says there's chilas between renting out a house, or renting out a field where you're allowed to charge more for a delayed payment, for a credit, and between a sale where you can charge more for a credit purchase. And the Gemara wants to know what the difference between the two cases are. Maishnah Resha or Maishnah Seifa. What's the difference between the first case of the Mishnah and the second case of the Mishnah? Why is it that we're talking about rentals, you're allowed to increase the price for a delayed payment, Why is it in a sefer? In the case of a sale, if you're selling the field, then you can't say, well, the cash price is $1,000 and the credit price is $1,200. Why is there a difference? So Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmer Tarvayo, Rabbi and Rav Yosef both say, Schirus einemish talemis elevasov. Rent's a tricky thing. We spoke about this a few years ago when we were speaking about renting. We don't do that here in America. But when I rent out your house, when do I have to pay you for the house? I really don't have to pay you until the term is finished. When I'm finished living here, that's the rule. Schirus einemish talemis elevasov. When, according to halacha, do I typically owe you the money? That is at the end of the term. That's after I've been there. We do that like if you go to a hotel. When you pay, you pay when you're finished. Right? That's halachically when a person is chayiv to pay for the rent. Now, if that's the case, over here where you're renting it for the year, when are you chayiv to pay the payment? That's the end of the year. So you're not chayiv to pay until the year is up. So I can say, hi, came to Lamata Zinni Lamikva, since you don't really owe me the money yet, I'm renting it to you. And the year's not up yet. We're just the beginning of the year now. So since you don't owe me the money until the year is up, lav agar notarle, by me charging you the $1,200 for the year, I'm not gaining anything. You're not lending me any money. I don't deserve any money from you until the year is up. So when the year is up, you owe me $1,200. Mishmu tahochi shavya, this is what it's worth. Behind a karmeli, that which I sell you, if you give it to me in payment in advance, I'll give it to you for 10. Ozali who took a mosali, I'm just giving you a discount. The real price is when the rental is up, and that's the end of the term. At the end of the year, you have to pay me those $1,200 at the end of the year. That's the real price. I'm just telling you, if you pay me in advance, so I'll give you a discount. That's fine. But seifa, when you buy something, and this is the story, you have to hear this well. Kemet is a vinin, when you buy something, when you pick up something from, you pick up the tape recorder from the store, or you go purchase, and make a kinyan on that field, on that property, it's yours now. Kemet is vinin, once it's a sale, uboy le mishkol deneli achshav, you owe the money immediately. Right? As soon as I buy the field, I owe you that $10,000. Now, if I tell you, well, if you pay me right away, it's $10,000. If you want it on credit, it's going to be $12,000. Hilkach agar not elehu va'aser. Why am I charging more for a payment at the end of the year? That's because I really want the money. You owe me the money now. You owe me $10,000 right now. I'm saying I'll lend it to you for a year. I'll let you pay me at the end of the year. If you pay me at the end of the year, then I'm going to charge you $12,000. Why? $10,000 for the price of the field that I sold you, and $2,000 for that loan I gave you, because you really owe me $10,000 immediately, and the fact that you didn't pay right away, that's a loan of $10,000 that I'm asking $2,000 worth of ribbis. But that's shot in the Mishnah, the difference between a rental and a sale.
I thought ribbis only applies to a loan per se.
Right, so that's a good point. Ribbis d'oraisa, biblical ribbis, only applies to a loan. Here we're talking, when it involves a sale, it's only midrabanan, and it's rabbinic ribbis. It's not
it's a different category altogether.
Right, it's not a biblical prohibition, it's a rabbinic prohibition of ribbis, because it seems like ribbis. It's the same ideal. You're right, the Torah says only don't lend money with ribbis. Here, it's really a sale, which makes it not biblical, it's not the raisa, but it's still usher, it's still prohibited from the chachanim. Okay, that's a good point.
Ribbis are non-monetary.
Well, it is monetary. You owe me $10,000. The only reason it's not the raisa is because that loan came about through a sale, not through me lending you $10,000. Why do you owe me $10,000? Because I lent you $10,000. Then if I charge $12,000, that's deraisa. Why do you owe me $10,000? Because I sold you something worth $10,000. Then if I tack on a price, that's only osir midrabanan. But it's still osir. Okay, so that would seem to knock out all these different arrangements where you want to make cash is this price and credit is a higher price. It should be all knocked out the window, because when I sell you something, you immediately owe the money. And any time I say, if you want to pay later, you pay me more, that's like I'm asking for interest on a loan. That's what the Gemara says. However, we have this loophole. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Tarsha. If you have something called a Tarsha, that's the name of this year, Tarsha. Tarsha is a credit sale. You sell something on credit. So Rav Nachman said, Tarsha Sharvi, it's permitted to make a sale on credit, even though you're charging a higher price for the credit. So Eisa Yerami Barcham Rav Nachman, Rav Yerami Barcham asked Akasha Rav Nachman from our Mishnah. Ramila Rav Ukva Barcham Rav Nachman, some say Rav Ukva Barcham asked Rav Nachman this Kasha. Our Mishnah said, Imla Gorin, if you're delaying payment, which is like a credit sale, Bishnei Masar Mana, that you want to have 12, it's $1,200, 12 mana, Aser is Ribbon. So how can you say that Tarsha, that a credit sale is permitted? Amar Le, Rav Nachman said back to him, whoever it was, either Rami Barchama or to Rav Ukva Barchama, Chasam Katzlei. When our Mishnah says it's Aser, that's where you stipulate the two prices. You say, if you pay me right now, it's $10,000. If you want credit, it's $12,000. That's when it's Aser. When you have a two-tier pricing system, that's when the Mishnah says it's Aser, because then it's clear that this item is really worth $10,000 for immediate payment. You want to delay payment, you want it on credit, so then I'm charging you extra for that money that you're holding. I want extra money for that. That's called ribis. But hacha, Rav Nachman, when Rav Nachman says that tarsha is permitted, hacha lo kotzlei. Here, he didn't make any stipulation. Rav Nachman just says like this, if you have something you want to sell, if you don't tell the buyer the cash price, you know he's going to want credit, and you know that it's really worth $10,000, you would sell it, he gave you the money right now, but you know he's not going to give you the money right now. He comes to you and says, look, I don't have the money now, but I like your house, how much will you sell it to me? So in that case, Rav Nachman says you could sell it for a higher price even because it's on credit, because you didn't stipulate what that cash price would have been, right? So that's the Gemara. Tosfos adds on this, not only is it prohibited when you state the two prices, but even if the price is known, everyone knows that the house is worth a certain amount, or houses is hard, a bad example, but if you're selling apples, everyone knows what the apples are worth now. They all are $1 a pound. And someone comes to you and says, you know, I'd like apples, but I can't pay you for another month. And you say, okay, then it's $1.50 a pound. So that's the same thing as if you're saying, well, if you pay me right now, it's $1 a pound. If you pay me later, it's $1.50. Right? That's included in the Gemara's Isser, in the Mishnah's Isser of a two-tiered price system. Not only when you articulate the two prices, you say the cash price plus the credit price, is it prohibited, but even if the cash price is known, everyone knows what it would cost if you had the money on hand. It's just an issue of, you know that he's not going to pay you right away, and you lift the price up because he's not going to pay you. That also is prohibited as part of this two-tiered pricing system. Let's see the way the halacha is presented in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Yeradeya Kuf Ayin Gimel Sif Aleph. So once again, this week we're talking about a sale where you're getting the item immediately, and the ribbis issue is from the delay in payment. Next week, Willie Netter will be talking the opposite way, which is further on in the siman, where you're giving the money right away, but the item, it's a futures, it's commodities, or it's a pre-publication price. That we're going to speak about next week in Yirat Hashem. So let's see this halacha. Mocher lechaveiro, if you sold to your friend Dover Sheshova Asara Zuhuvim, this item is worth 10 golden coins. And you sold it for 12, because he's not going to pay you right away. That's Aser. That's Aser, like the Mishnah said. When is that Aser? Something where it's a known price, like Tosfos said that we just spoke out. Or something that everyone could look at and see what it's worth. Kamo, palapel, like peppers, or shiver, or wax. Things that have standard prices. Then it's Aser to say, well, if you're not going to pay me right away, I'd like $12, that's prohibited. Avot talis, but if it's clothes don't have a set price. Ukiyotsebo, something like that. Shein l'shar yadua, it doesn't have a set price. Ve'en shumasa yadua, it doesn't have a known evaluation. Mutter, nowadays we don't have anything that has really a fixed price. We don't have price controls anymore. But we have things that are shumasa yadua, that it's a known, everyone knows what it's worth. So if you don't know what it's worth, then mutter l'machra b'yoker, you're allowed to sell it more expensively, l'fro l'zman ploni, then it should be paid back at that certain time. Uvelvad, as long as you can't articulate, in titan l'miyad harehu l'cha b'asar azum, if you pay me right away, it will be $10, b'yom l'zman ploni b'yod beis, but if you wait for the payment, it will be $12, that you can't do. Some say, even if you don't explain it explicitly, you don't articulate it clearly, there's still an iser. You only have a right to lift the price a little bit. But if you raise the price, the credit price, so much, so everyone recognizes that it's because you're getting this deal of not having to pay the money right away, that's why the price is higher. It's like you articulated the two prices and it's asr. The bottom line is that when you have two prices, one for a cash payment, one for a credit payment, that is asr midrabanan, because it's like I'm saying, really you owe me this money right away because you have the item. Because you're not paying me right away, I'm making you a loan, and that loan, I'm asking you interest, that's why I'm charging you more. Now, how do you have these two prices? Certainly, if you say the prices, this is the price for cash, this is the price for the credit. That's awesome. But not only that, if it's known how much the cash price is, and you just tell them that credit price, that's also awesome, because everyone knows that you lifted it up the price because of the credit, because everyone knows what it's worth now. And even if people don't know what it's worth, something that has a variable value, we'll see, like real estate or used clothing, used cars, a used car really has no set value. So really you could give a higher price for the credit purchase unless you raise it too high. Right? We'll go through each of these halachas step by step.
Credit cards are different.
Yeah, so let's start with that case. We'll talk. The first thing we have a halacha that if you say two prices, it's asir. It used to be that you went to a gas station and the cash price was a certain amount per gallon, 70 cents a gallon, and the credit price was 80 cents a gallon. Right? So remember those days. So that's
I remember 29.9.
Okay. So there used to be such a system like that, and one of these farmers said in Eretz Yisrael, it still is, I'm not sure. So that's problematical, because why is the credit price higher? Now that's where you have to see. If the credit price is higher because there's a 9 cents surcharge, you know, they charge 9%, the credit card company charges a surcharge every time you make a sale, and you're just passing that on to the consumer, so that would be okay. Right, I'm not charging you extra because I'm getting a delay in your payment. I'm charging you extra because your delay, your use of the credit card gives me a 3% surcharge. So I'm just passing that surcharge on to you. That's okay. But if the reason I'm charging you extra credit is because I'm not going to have my money right away, it takes 24 hours for me to get the money, or I'm just charging you extra stuff because it's credit. So then, that's usur. That's by a credit card. And certainly, if it's something on credit, right? I have a store, and you come to the store and you say, you know, I say, like, if you give me cash, the price is $100. If you want to pay me tomorrow, you want to pay me next week, it's $120. So that is certainly usur. That's having two prices. Right? We're just saying that there's a heter. The reason I'm giving you that extra price is because I'm passing on a charge that I have because of your use of the credit, then I can pass that on. But if there's any other reason why I'm passing on that increase, I can't do it, even if it's, say, suppose I bought it on credit. I'm telling you a tape recorder. I bought the tape recorder from the manufacturer, and as soon as I pay him, I get my account is clean, but until I pay him, he's charging me 3% per day. So I want to pass that 3% per day on to you because you're not paying me. So that's usur. The same way we spoke about in previous weeks, if I take out money from my credit card and I lend that money to you, Right? I take $1,000 from my ATM and now I'm paying 7% interest, and I give it to you and I say, here's $1,000, I just want you to make the payments for me. That's usur, because I'm borrowing money with interest permittedly from a non-Jewish bank, but then I'm charging you $1,000 plus interest. That's prohibited. That's ribis. Right? I can't pass on ribis expenses to you. So same thing over here. Even though I'm paying ribis, I'm paying interest on this tape recorder until you pay me, but I can't pass that on to you. But if your credit card costed me money, the use of the credit card, that costs an automatic 3% fee, that I can pass on to you because, look, you want to have the convenience of using a credit card. I don't want to lose because of that. I can charge you for that. The only thing I can't charge you for is because I'm inconvenienced, because I'm losing money from your delay in paying, so I want to charge you, so that I can't do. That's ribis. I can't pay my ribis bill with your ribis. That's the halacha of two prices. That's clearly prohibited to set up a store where if you pay cash it's one price and credit a second price, unless that credit price is based solely on the cost of your use of that credit card, which is 1%, 2%, it's not that much. Okay, so that knocks out stores right away. Now, we'll see at the end, there might be some heter for a store. Now, back to people making yard sales or selling their own personal items. So there we have a heter, because if it's something that the price isn't clear, if, you're selling a yard sale, all your used toys, who knows what a used toy costs, right? Things that are a used car, or even real estate, something that there's not a clear price on, so that we said, if the ancient Moshe Yadoa, if there's not a clear evaluation of that item, then we have the halacha of Tirsha, we have Rav Nachman's Tirsha, his credit, which says it's permitted, as long as there's no clear price of the cash price. So we have this halacha, Mishnah Srivis brings down a contemporary case. If he's selling merchandise or any other object that has no set price, it's permitted to add a little bit on the price because the buyer is going to pay later. Because since it has no set valuation, you don't see any ribis here. And what are examples? Karkos, like real estate, bought them houses, sifrei Torah, avarim tovos, precious stones, mechones, mishum mashal, used car, chafesim sheish hevdol gadol b'mechiram, b'mocha echad l'sheni. The same 95 Plymouth could cost a big difference between two different people. There's no set price on it. So if the person comes in and you know that he's going to ask you for a credit price, he's not going to pay you right away, you can charge him the higher price. Once again, you know better than a store. You can't tell them, well, if you pay me right away, I'll give it to you cheaper, and you kept for cash, the price, cash price is $5,000, and if you want to pay it out, it'll be $7,000. That you can't do. And the Bris Yehuda even has a suffix. Suppose you have like this. You have this yard sale, and someone says, how much does that used car cost? And I have cash. And you say, oh, cash, $5,000. And he says, no, that's too high. And then someone else comes. And he says, I don't have the money right now. If I'll pay you in a week, but how much does that car cost? I like it. They say $7,000. Right? So the fact that you said $5,000 to the first person, that told us that you really hold the car is worth $5,000. That's what you're willing to accept if he had accepted the deal. He refused the deal, and now you're charging more because this next person is going to be asking for credit. So it's like saying, look, really, if you pay me right now, I'll charge you $5,000. You're asking for a 6-month payment, so then I'm going to charge you $2,000 for those payments. So that he has a suffix. It could be that could be problematic.
What's the difference between thinking it and actually saying it? And that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, if you think it, so then it's, and the whole thing is the ribis nicker. Is right? That's the way they're talking. Is it? Can you recognize that there's ribis here? If you have two prices, it's recognized that they're ribis. By the way, you don't have to say the two prices. If you have a catalog, in front over there, and they all look up the price, and you could see the price is $100 for this tape recorder, and someone asks you, I don't have the money, can I pay it out? And you say, it's $120. Well, then what do you mean? It says over here it's $100. Right? You don't have to say it, as long as it's clear. So the Bris Yehuda says maybe the fact that you told the first person what you were would accept for an immediate payment, maybe that makes it clearer already. That's his suffix. Another example he gives, which would certainly be a problem. You didn't say anything, but he just comes to you and says, look, I don't have the money now, I'll pay it out, monthly payments, how much is the car? And you can say, okay, let's put down $6,000, and you start multiplying for a month, and you know, you come out with it. So that also shows that you're charging interest. Anything that shows that the delay in the payment bothers you so much that you're charging him for that delay, you want the payment for the delay in the money that he owes you, that is asur midrabbanan, and that's called ribis. Right? It doesn't matter
whether you're jacking up the price for delay payment, or whether you're discounting the price.
We're going to talk about that, discounting the price. But it seems like if I say this is the price right now, that's the price right now. Right? Because when you take it home, you now owe me the money. Any increase in the price for a delayed payment is because you didn't pay me right away. We will find some possible heter at the end. Now this heter applies, we said, only if you don't raise the price too much. Once again, we're talking where there is no clear price of what it is now. No one came beforehand. There's no catalog. It's just a used object and has prices, whatever you can get, the market will bear. As long as you don't charge too much, that's okay. Now, the next thing we like to define is what's called too much. How much is too much? The Shach seems to say that it has the same halachas as Ona'a. If you recall, a few years ago we spoke about price gouging, price fraud. And there are different halachas of how much constitutes price fraud. We said if it's more than 1/6 of the regular price, which is really 1/5 in our terms, right, it's 1/6 millibar, which is really 1/5, 20%. If you charge more than 20%, that constitutes price fraud, and the whole sale is null and void. But that's by buying and selling. The Chavos Das wants to say the same thing should apply over here. Right, there's no set price. No one knows the real price. But if you took it over to an appraiser, he would be able to tell you, you know, this car and the book value is worth anywhere between $5,000 and $7,000. And you go and charge $10,000 for it. So why are you charging $10,000 for something that ranges between $5,000 and $7,000? Because he's not paying you right away. You're charging $3,000 for interest payments for the money he owes you. So the Chavos Das says that this heter that you have, when there's not a clear price to raise the price for a credit purchase, only helps if you don't go more than the rules of Ona'a. But anything up to 20%, that's okay. And taking that a step further, you know, we learned that when it comes to real estate, there's even a higher threshold of what's called Ona'a. According to some Rishonim, there is no Ona'a at all. There's no price fraud at all by real estate, because real estate is one of a kind, and we learned that there could be no set price on it. Other Rishonim hold that you can't charge more than 50%, you can't charge more than double what it's worth. If it's worth $100,000 on the market, general in the market, you can't charge more than $200,000. So based on that, over here, if you were selling a house, houses certainly don't have a clear value. So we would have this heter to say, if you know the person's coming, he's going to ask you for a credit price, which most people do, they're not going to have cash. He says, how much does the house go for? So assume that he's going to ask you to finance it. So you say, oh, it's $250,000. Now, that's okay as long as the house is worth at least $125,000. But if the house isn't worth $125,000, so then once again, it's clearly, why are you charging so much extra? Because you're financing it for 30 years. Right, that's why you pay twice as much interest as you pay for the principal. Right, that's what you're doing over there. So that would be clearly prohibited. That's what the Chavos Das holds. That it all depends on the rules of Ona'a. The Shar HaMishpat, he has a section called Shar Day on the back of Shar Mishpat on Yeridei on Hilchos Ribis. He says, what's this have to do with Ona'a? By price fraud, there's rules that anything more than this amount, people aren't willing to be mochel, and the whole sale is null and void. But when we're talking about ribis, we're talking about what's recognizable that your extra payment was because of the credit factor. Now, those two factors aren't necessarily the same. I'm willing to be mochel up to 20% because, you know, there's ranges. I'm willing to remodel that amount. But to say, you know, if the catalog says the cash price is $50 and you say you want credits, I say it's $52. Right? If you speak out any difference, if it's a dollar more, that's already ribbis. Derabbanan, that's privity. You can't ask ribbis for a penny more. Right? If you spoke it out, it'd be problematical. So here also, you're not speaking it out. And we don't know. It's not clear what the price is. But who's to say that if you can go by real estate, you could even go double the price, and no one will recognize that it's ribbis. Of course everyone knows that the reason you charge $125,000 more for the house was because it was you're financing it, and not because you're price gouging and then you're within the lower limit of price gouging. So he disagrees with this point. Bottom line, you know, we have this machlok sachron, and how do you do it? You just have to be careful to not take too much advantage of the situation. Now, in other words, the heter once again is, if there's no set price on the item, it's a used car, used yard sale, tape recorder, things that still work and you're selling, and there's no set price for them, and you know the person's going to ask for a credit price, you know he's going to ask to be paid on credit, you can immediately tell him a higher price based on the fact that you're financing it, as long as it's not too much greater than the cash price. What's too much greater? Something that people would recognize that you're charging extra for financing. Right, that's the halacha.
I'm sure you would have taken the cash price for what you're charging for the rooms price too.
No, yeah, if he gives you, suppose he comes to you and says, how much does it cost? So I said, okay, I'll finance it and it's $250,000. And then he says, you know, I have cash. Right, after you made the deal, and now he says I have cash, so you certainly could say it's still 250, and you know, right, that if he gives it to you, you'd be happy. However, if he didn't make any kinyan yet, so you can't now say, oh no, it's 200, because at that point, you're right, you can say it's 200, and he can pay you the 200, but once you say it's 200, then you can no longer charge 250 anymore. You like if you he's bluffing you, you're going to end up paying for it at the end, because how much is the cash price? Oh, I have cash here, 200. Oh, you know, really, I don't have that much, but I'll give you 200. And then you can't charge him more than 200 anymore for the credit price. It's, you know, you have to be tricky. Once he made the kinyan and he said, okay, I'm agreeing, you write it up, 250, I'm financing it, then you're allowed to tell him, you know what, if you want to prepay, I'll take $200,000 and I'll wipe off the slate. That's okay. But before the deal is made, you run the risk of him bluffing you and you're being stuck with that cash price that you gave him because you won't be able to charge more anymore.
Where does Rivers start the negotiations then?
As long as you're not saying two prices.
Well, there's no Rivers. Five prices before you close the deal.
No, you're just bargaining. But you're not giving. No, so that's not ribbis at all. It all becomes ribbis when you say, if it's cash, it's this, if it's credit, it's that. If it's finance, it's the second price. That's when the ribbis starts. But as long as we're talking, and I have in mind that you're, you know, the financing price, that's okay, even though I'm charging well more than I would charge for credit. As long as it's not nicker, clear that it's because of the ribbis that I'm doing that. Now, a common issue comes when there's like a fire sale, a liquidation sale. And everyone knows the price on the street is $100 for the tape recorder. Everyone knows that's what it sells for. But you say, look, I need the cash, and today I'm making a sale. Anyone that gives me cash, I'm charging $80. Right? So that's fine. Anyone could walk in and pay $80, and there's certainly no ribbis there. Here's $80, here's my tape recorder, and there's no problem. The problem though becomes, how about someone who comes into the store and says, look, I don't have any cash, but here I'll use my credit card, or give me credit, and I'll pay you $100. So is that a problematical with Rivers to pay that credit price? You know, when they have a cash only sale, it's clear that what's happening is the prices are being discounted. The sales are the same all year, and now it's cash only. He wants to raise cash, he needs to raise cash. Anyone has cash, I'm giving you 20% off. Can someone walk in the store that day and pay credit the regular price? So, as always, that's a machlokas. Like the Chachmas Adam says, the way we would think at first we would say, look, there's no ribbis over here. Why is it called ribbis? Because when I tell you this is the price if you pay me right now, and then you say, well, you don't have the money right now, you want to finance it, well, because you're financing it, so you're not going to pay me, you owe me the money right away, but you're not paying me for another year, so I'm charging you extra, that's ribbis. Here I'm not charging you extra. The price I have all year, if people came in right away, they will pay me $100 for this. That's the price I have all the time. Now I'm making a special deal. Anyone who has cash can have a discount. So when you pay with credit, you're paying the regular price. You're not paying me. You're not paying interest. That's what the Chacham Sadam holds. That's what the Machan Ephraim hold. They both hold that it's permitted to have these two prices when it's clear that the cash price is a discount. The Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Yad Avram, many, many other Achronim disagree. Just from the fact that you have now started another two-tier system. Because what happens over here? You're saying, right today it's worth $80 to you. Today this tape recorder is worth $80. Anyone that comes in with cash will get this tape recorder. Today the price is $80. Anyone with cash in the whole city that comes in with $80 gets a tape recorder. You came in, you don't have cash. And you're going to use your credit and say, look, I'll pay you next week. They say, I'm sorry, it's only cash only. You have to pay $100. Even though you could, everyone else in the world, in the city, is charging $100 for this item today, but the fact that your price is different, you're charging $80, that makes it problematical for the credit buyers. The contemporary Achronim are worried about these opinions that hold that disagree with this Svara of the Chachmas Adam. I have Mishas Ribbis quoted here, but most of them say you have to be careful even in such a case, even though it's clear that it's a discount. But the fact that right now cash would make the deal $80 to me, right? The ribbis is between me and you now. It's not between everyone else in the street. Right now, if you gave me $80, I'd give you the tape recorder. Because you don't have cash, I'm charging you $100. So that still remains a ribbis problem. Finally, the last issue we spoke about, these...
Can you tell me to come in tomorrow?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you could say, I can't sell today.
Right, you're right, that's what you have to do.
Cash only day.
Right, that's what you have to do.
Credit. You have the tomorrow where the regular price goes differently for everybody.
Right, that's what you have to do. Yeah. Right, today so I can't. Today I'm only accepting cash. Right, that's what you have to say.
The holding
thing. What?
The holding thing. Okay. Layaway.
Okay, as if there is another thing to tie the increase in, so then there could be an answer, which we're going to say right now. Like, what's going on with these insurance companies? Insurance companies should be the same problem, right? We're saying if you pay, the insurance right now is $1,200. If you want to make payments, so then we add $10 a month, and it becomes $1,300, right? So that should be the same problem. However, the Ris Yehuda says that why are they charging extra per month for the insurance? It's not because... Really, I'm giving you the credit, maybe also like Dr. Miller said in the beginning, they're not really giving the product right away. They have the right to charge right away, but that's not why they're charging the extra. You know why they're charging the extra? That's because every month they're going to send out a bill, and every month they're going to have to cash a check, and they're going to have to pay secretaries and treasurers and a whole bureaucracy going on all the time. That's why they're charging extra. It's much cleaner to say, look, pay me, if you pay right away, it's one price. If you want to make a monthly payment, I have the right to charge you a service charge which reflects my extra expenses that I have in bookkeeping and hiring extra people. That's a heter that the Ris Yehuda says applies to these type of cases in America. There's not an issue anyway because most of the companies are in Jewish, the insurance companies and utilities. But if it's an Eretz Yisrael or it is happens to be a Jewish insurance company, he says that would be permitted because it's not like a two-tiered system. It's not that, you know, here's the tape recorder. If you pay me now, it's this price. If you make payments, so then it's higher. It's right now, this is the price. It's $1,200. If you want to pay me per month, that you want that convenience of spacing out your payments, that's going to cost me money. It's going to give me problems. It's like we said in the beginning of the credit card. If the credit card costs me 3%, when you give it to me, so I can charge you the 3%. It costs me money by me accepting your credit card. That you could pass on to the consumer. So we learned today that in cases where you get the product immediately, you're the buyer, and you get the product immediately, you now immediately owe the seller money. Now, if he tells you one price for an immediate sale and a second higher price for a delayed sale, for a delayed payment, that constitutes rivets, because what we're saying is, right now I sold you this paper cutter for $100 and you owe me $100 right now. You want to wait 6 months to pay, and I say, well, then it's $120, so I'm getting $100 for the tape recorder and $20 for that loan that I gave you for 6 months. That's prohibited when it's clear that there are two prices, that there's the cash price and that there's the credit price. When it's not clear what the cash price is because it's not known what the value of such an item is, there's no set prices for such an item, and you didn't speak out two prices, it was all quiet, you just figured you'll give a higher price based on the fact that he's going to put one credit. So that's okay as long as you don't make it too high. What's called too high, that's subjective. As long as it's not something that people could recognize, it's because the rib is, right? We saw one sheet that's the null, the 20%. It can't be something that's clearly because of the rib is. There's a possible hedge we discussed just now, that if there is a set price and you're giving a discount for a cash payment, a fire sale, there might be a hedge involved over there. The advice is not to rely on that. And the one hedge we did have was this bris yehuda that says if it's clear that the extra prices are for service charges, so then you're allowed to charge per month for that convenience of the person not having to pay immediately. So that's this week's discussion of a sale where you got the item right away, you haven't paid right away. Next week is when you paid right away, you made immediate payment, right? You paid for 3 years' worth of the magazine, and they say, well, if you pay in advance, it's going to be a cheaper price, but if you wait till you get it, it's a higher price. What will that constitute? It's in the opposite way, because over there, I'm lending you the money. If the item's available, it's only a dollar. It's going to cost a dollar per issue, but if you give me the money in advance, I like having the money in advance, so then I'm going to give you weekly thing for $40 instead of the $52 it would be. Will that constitute rivets? And that we'll talk about next week.
So